From the Roots Up. CIUT 89.5 FM. Toronto.
Welcome to Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. And today we're going to be talking to Tony Leah of Unifor because an important, noteworthy union, the leader of that union, retired, Buzz Hargrove, passed away. And we want to talk about what his legacy was or is to the union movement. And Tony ought to know, he's a veteran of the movement, of Unifor. And so we'll be talking to him. And also we will be talking, and very importantly, we've had the opportunity to speak to the wonderful novelist and journalist Anne Charney. She's going to be talking to us about a new edition of her novel, Dobrid. And it is an important story. We're very interested in this and will continue to be because it's a chapter of our heritage, of what we experienced in World War II, what was experienced. And it contains the kind of details that mean so much, at least to myself, someone who's always tried to understand that terrific, horrible war in all its complexities, and also looking at it, you might say, vertically, at who participated and what was their contribution. As you know, Donald Trump says that America won the war, so he thinks that's all you need to know. And a bunch of people wearing silly hats all agree with him. So that will be at 11:30. And also I have to say that there's really important and dangerous news coming from Rwanda. Victoire Ingabire, an independent Rwandan political figure, a woman who returned to her country following the years of war and massacres of civilians, which caught the world's attention. And by the way, Alexander Coburn of Counterpunch used to say, if it's in Africa or Asia, the number has to be 1 million, otherwise Europeans don't care. So it had the figure 1 million attached to it, whether it's true or not, in terms of nobody ever bothered. His main thing is to say it happened. Victoire Ingabire was not in the country. She was a child. But because following the end of the conflict, one of the two parties ended up with total power. That would be the RPF at Paul Kagame. And the population was and is now ruled over by that party, and the voices of a huge percentage of the population are actually not heard in the circles of power, and it's not paid attention to by all the outsiders who previously gave themselves the right to interfere there, but now they don't care to do so because they Washington in particular, is a friend supporter of Paul Kagame. I know they have little differences of opinion, and he spouts off a lot, but the money keeps flowing, and the support for him remains. So Victoire Ingabire returned to her country and offered herself as a candidate for a party that called for, true multipartism, which it had had, by the way, at one point. And she was jailed for that. And then she spent time in jail. You want to remember, they shaved her head because that's part of the fun when people have power, humiliate people. So they she went through that experience, was released, and has been basically living for a number of years under house arrest with a little bit of attention from people who call themselves civil human rights advocates. But the government is extremely hostile to her, and they've never let her run for office. And it's been an ugly, dangerous situation. And now she is in custody once again. And I would invite all our listeners, please, simply start searching right now for information on Victoire Ingabire and her status. She is a civilian, a non-combatant, but she will be accused of every last dastardly deed, though she's been sitting in her own home all this time. So just pretend for a moment that you care about human rights and that you actually would like to see the people of Rwanda have self-determination, that kind of thing, and take up her cause. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto. The news, of course, has finally, the storm has broken. That is, the United States has carried out attacks on Iran, and wouldn't you know it, elbows up, Canada is right in line. The headline today's Globe says, Prime Minister, and it doesn't say and, but Anand, defend U.S. actions. And then it says, as France distances itself. Well, don't worry, France is not going to distance itself much. This has been something they all prayed for and been working for many years. And that is destruction, regime change in the Islamic Republic. That's what it's about. It's not about the nuclear weapons. Iran does not have nuclear weapons. The United States does. Israel. There is a non-proliferation treaty. And the United States belongs to it. Israel does not. Nobody ever. It's verboten to talk about it in Western quarters for reasons that we'll have to get an expert on to explain. However, two nuclear powers have attacked a country that doesn't have a nuclear weapon. And this is in violation, most importantly, of international agreements. And to permit an attack and to stand idly by, or as that sort of nudging, runny-nosed cooperator Canada in attack that violates UN Charter, throws aside the existing procedures. The Islamic Republic signed many years ago. They're a signatory to the Non-Proliferation Treaty. They are the most inspected country under that treaty. And they cooperate with the international agency. They've always cooperated. But when they were threatened by a separate power that took it upon itself, that is the United States, and what, of course, Israel, to throw all treaties aside and say, we will determine whether you can have nuclear power generated. We will determine. That's a violation of all the international agreements. But what makes agreements fall apart, of course, is the cowardly behavior of other so-called sovereign countries who permit it. They ought to all be saying, these treaties are what saves us all, and let's follow the procedure. But actually, it's only become, as it was with Iraq, an excuse to destroy the government itself. And we actually lived through this, maybe some are too young to know, but the Iraq was accused, and their nuclear facility for power, for use by the Iraqi people and government, was, and by the way, it was built by France. It was destroyed by one shot by the by Israel, and then the drumbeat began to a new story, which was, oh, they're involved with terrorism. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. All accusations, which are could be worked out, discussed at the UN, or through treaties or through, but there was no honest dealings. They simply targeted this country, Iraq. Going way back, they had a Iraq had a problem with Kuwait. Kuwait had been taking their oil. They had pipes, had driven wells in such a way that they were taking Iraqi oil. So Iraq had moved against Kuwait, and Amnesty International brought a woman to the U.S. And pardon me, I guess she was at the United Nations, and she said she was a nurse, and she had witnessed the Iraqi soldiers taking babies from the apparatus that was keeping them alive and throwing them on the floor, and she cried. And George Bush, number one, said his wife was watching, and she became so upset that he, George Bush, decided they had to attack Iraq. There's, by the way, this is a story that kind of gets repeated. You look into the story of Chrétien, the time he decided to involve himself with the Rwanda business in Congo. It's always a story of the wife who's crying because she's heard the terrible news, which is all malarkey from top to bottom. Let's go back to the nurse. It turned out she wasn't actually a nurse. She was the niece or daughter of the Iraqi ambassador to the United States. And that whole hoax, in which Amnesty participated, facilitated an uproar and a need for Americans to shed the blood of foreigners. It's an empire, by the way, where if you have not killed a fair number of foreigners by the first 100 days of your government, you will not be considered presidential. You have to kill foreigners. It has to be because we have these really manly qualities. We don't stand by. We kill somebody. And this has been going on for quite a long time. Just to show you how tangled this current mess is, I want everybody to remember that the United States supported, way back when the Islamic Republic came into being under the Ayatollah Khomeini, Saddam Hussein attacked Iran. He attacked, and he said he was going to go all the way to Tehran. Well, he didn't make it to Tehran, but the U.S. and others supported his attacks on the Islamic Republic. And I may as well mention, every Arab state except Syria supported Saddam invading Iran. That's what happened. And a million soldiers died, I think, on both sides in a war that lasted at least eight years. And it was holy havoc. And chemical weapons were used, by the way, by Saddam. They were provided by Germany, and it was considered a good opportunity. Munitions people love these little wars of Category B, I guess, where the developing countries are brought to fight each other, and then they're sold weapons, and then experiments are waged to see how they work, because there's always the larger war in the background. At the moment, there's a very large war in the background, but just to know it and to remember it and be a little bit clear, Syria opposed Saddam, and but other Arab states were quite happy to back Saddam. So we ought not to be surprised at the peculiar configuration that is unfolding today in the region. It should be, again, condemned. It has exposed a lot of things. It primarily exposed that there's no such, the old elbow story is, needs to be thrown out because it's a joke. Canada has been saying, well, we're going to produce more munitions. We're going to become a robust military power, etc. And U.S., toward the U.S., we say we don't like Donald Trump, except we're going to do everything he asks us to do. And so that is where we are. And when the U.S. administration carries out these attacks, there is no discussion of principle. All decided to say Iran should not be permitted to have a nuclear weapon, but it doesn't have a nuclear weapon, and there is a procedure to determine that. And there's also, as I mentioned, a non-proliferation treaty. This has nothing to do with, it can't be permitted. You have to show evidence that there is any such weapon. And you do that by inspection. And Iran was and has been inspected. So we're at that point where we need to discuss. I guess lastly, I'll just make this point. There's been a number of people who seem to be very off base or confused, including Jeffrey Sachs, of all people, where it is described as Israel caused, dragged the United States into the war. Actually, they don't seem to notice. They're actually partners. And Israel doesn't have the capacity to attack with soldiers and occupy Iran. Can't be done. And besides that, once you cross that line, if you did, you would be in big trouble because there are countries that would not tolerate that. Just to tell you, if you do not remember, when the United States attacked Iraq after it had been a failure in trying to overthrow Khomeini, when the United States then began a punishment, a campaign against Saddam, Israel was not permitted to participate because the Arab states would have said, no, you cannot do that. We're not, no, 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 no. So this is the configuration you want to remember. Israel was told to stand down, and they did. And Saddam, rather cunning effort, but he said he tried to involve Israel in the war by hitting them with a missile. And I remember a wise NBC commentator said, well, that's it. A missile has landed in Israel now. It's fired by Iraq. And now Israel will join the fight against Saddam. But it didn't happen, because the Americans called Israel and said, don't do anything, because this, you see, we're making this an Arab-U.S. fight against Saddam, and Israel will not be invited to the party. That's just a fact. The U.S. is running the show, and has been all along, and because going all the way back, and this is the Taylor Report's favorite geographical historical point, since the conquest of the Ottomans by Western imperialism, they have never let go of the Levant, Eastern Mediterranean and the coast from Turkey to Egypt. Western imperialism has never let go, and they never will, until such time as there's sufficient unity or changes of leadership creates a situation where they lose their grip. But they have a grip, and Israel is merely part of that. It is not running the show. This is the Taylor Report at CIUT 89.5 FM. I think we might have a bite of music. I don't know. And then we're going to talk to Tony Leo.